The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. The anonymous landlord is about making profit in many different ways. It's not a product, it's not a training course, it's not something you can just have. It's a way of life, a quality of life. It's a business mindset, a system of automation that shapes the way you invest in property and the way you think about property. An anonymous landlord makes loads of money and continues to grow and grow and grow wealth without giving up any time or energy or effort. Because what's the point in making loads of money from property if you can't enjoy it? I'm Tom Soan and this is The Anonymous Landlord. This morning, I've put a bit of effort into putting together the habits of highly successful property investors. And I haven't just plucked this out of thin air. What I did is I put this together myself from my own opinion and then asked a load of property investors what their opinions are about the habits that highly successful property investors can adopt and implement in order to grow themselves and grow their portfolios, make maximum profits, and keep all their time. So this is in no particular order either. I just thought I'd fire them all down onto a piece of paper without too much real structure. So I hope you're all with me and I hope you're all going to enjoy this. If you do miss this, then you can always watch it a bit later. I don't know who I'm telling that to, but let's crack on. So here are a load of habits of highly successful property investors. And I'm just going to fire through these as they're written down on my piece of paper here. So first of all, yield first, personal likes and dislikes later. Now that one's a pretty obvious one. It's a pretty common one that it's one of those things that you all know, but maybe sometimes it's not at the forefront. Now, what do I mean by that? So first of all, if you're viewing a property, before you get to that property, work out the yield. Not only the purchase yield, but also the ongoing yield if you're going to flip to sell or flip to let or a buy, refurbish, refinance, whatever you want to call it. Either way, if you're going to keep that property or sell that property, work out the yield before you go to the property. When you get to the property, recalculate the yield or just make sure that your yield was correct. And then you can start bringing in your likes and dislikes, but use them as calculations. Likes and dislikes might come into play a little bit later in this presentation, whatever you want to call it. So next, carry out your major property health checks. Now you can do that at the property, but you can also do a little bit of that before you get to the property. For an example, you can check out the structural condition of the property, the cosmetic condition of the property, of course, and work out what sort of costs might be involved and what sort of dangers to the property. But I really, really, really want you to check for water ingress potential. That means, where can water get into the property? It's one of the most damaging things to any property anywhere is water. So when you get to the property, just check for any areas and any signs where water may get into the property in the future or has got into the property in the past. Now, if you want to actually, by the way, just listen to my podcast. I did that whole thing on property checklists. There's also a bit on my Facebook page here that you can check too. Next, check the demand before you make your offer. Now, you can check demand quite easily yourself. Just go on Rightmove and you can search all properties in that area that are similar to yours. So for an example, if you search all the two bedroom houses in Portsmouth, which is where I'm from, and all the properties that are on the market, go into the Rightmove filter and then click sale agreed included or include sale agreed or include sold. That will then show you how many properties are on the market and how many are sold in your particular category, two bedroom houses in this instance. If it's a high percentage of properties on the market and a low percentage of sold, then the demand is reasonably low for that property. But also, if you're going to resell that property, then that means that you're going to be up against a load of other properties in that category. So you might not get full price. But similarly, you, if it's the other way around, if there are, I don't know, 100 properties on the market, but there are 80 sale agreed, you know you're onto a winner. So you know you can go and grab that property quick. You don't mind paying a decent price for it because you know there's a high demand for that property. It relates as well to renting. If you've got a highly active sale market, generally you'll have a highly active rental market, because typically speaking, people buy property or rent property because they want the area, they want the property type, they want the local schools, the facilities, and so on and so on. Tip number four, get three types of valuation. The agent valuation, and get three of them, by the way. Your own valuation, and get a surveyor's valuation too. And I mean like a surveyor's mortgage type of valuation. Now, you probably will pay for that unless you know a good surveyor that you're friends with and can help you out. But with the agent valuation, here's a little tip, and estate agents are gonna hate me for saying this, but generally speaking, if an estate agent thinks there's an opportunity to win your business, they will come and value the property for free. So get three of them out. And if any of my team are listening to this, then I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to help as many investors as I can here. Tip number five, it's all about numbers, viewings, offers, deals. Now, you could apply the 80-20 rule. Now, hopefully you've all heard of the 80-20 rule. To be honest with you, it applies to a lot of things, but it really does work in property investing. Think about it like this. If you go and view 10 properties and you make 8 offers, the chances are you're going to get 2 property deals, unless you're offering stupid. 80-20 rule is a really good way of working out your numbers. So get out there and view, loads of viewings. The more viewings, the more offers, the more deals you'll get. Tip number six, make your decision and your offer and stick to it. So if you decide you're going to pay this much property, if you decide you're going to pay this much money for this property, make your offer and stick to it. Don't start increasing your offer just to try and win that deal, or just to try and, you know, sometimes your ego takes over a little bit, and a lot of people think ego is negative. It's not. Ego is actually you. You are your ego. But sometimes, and I've fallen into this trap a few times where I've made an offer and then I start, my ego takes over a little bit and I really want to win that deal. So I increase my offer and I increase my offer. And then I think, oh, hang on a minute, Tom, what are you doing? Tip number seven, calculate your debt and then smash it with yield. I love this one. Look, you've probably heard everywhere in loads of different ways that you can raise capital, raise money to buy a property, right? And there are loads of different ways that you can take debt through mortgages, loans, raising it through investors, joint ventures, anything like that. There's loads of ways that you can raise money to buy property, but it's all debt, right? So for an example, if you're going to pay 10% on the debt that you're raising to buy that property, but you're going to make 30% yield, go for it. Hey, but make sure you pay your debt off. That's a big one. Make sure you pay your debt off. You don't want to take out a load of debt, make a load of cash, spend a load of cash, but keep the debt. Boo. Now that's a bit different with mortgages, obviously, but you know what? What I guess I'm saying is that, do you want to keep debt if you're raising it to do a flip? For me, no. Mortgage debt is fine because that's attached to the property, but things like loans and other investor finance, anything like that, no. Tip number nine, your property is always for sale. It might be a better yield to sell that property and reinvest later. Let's say you've got a rental property right now, and it's a, I don't know, 2-bedroom house, and you're currently renting it out for $800 a month, and 10 years down the line, the value of that property has gone up considerably, but maybe the rent price hasn't gone up, so your yield hasn't gone up in line with the sale value. So therefore, you might look at it, recalculate it, because you should be recalculating it all the time. You can recalculate it, and it might say, hey, if you sell this property now, you're gonna get 20% yield. But if you keep it rented, you're only gonna get 15% yield. So your property should always be for sale at the right price, because it might be a better time to sell than keep. And then you can reinvest that money and get a better rental property. How about that? Number 10, outsource and delegate. Keep your own time, your energy, but also, if you are that sort of landlord or property investor that goes around doing all the work yourself, Remember, you are taking a massive risk in doing that because you're also taking on the liability. If you go around and fix a problem at your tenant's property and that problem goes wrong and injures that tenant, you're liable. You know what? Get the plumbers to do the plumbing. Get the electricians to do the electrics. Get the handymen to do the handiwork. Get anybody like that who's got the right insurances, the right qualifications and experience and accreditations. Don't do it all yourself. Outsource and delegate. Tip number 11, cash flow and appreciation is the king of all property. Look, you can actually invest in property for cash flow and appreciation. There are certain areas of the north where the appreciation is a bit lower, but the cash flow is a bit higher. But there are certain areas of the south where you get both. And there are areas where you get lots of appreciation and low cash flow, so on and so on. But make sure you're trying to focus on cash flow and appreciation and weigh it up. But most importantly, calculate your, this is tip number 12. Calculate your true yield and not your fake yield. Now, you've heard me mention this many, many times, and I've spoken to so many property investors, and the most successful ones calculate the true yield and not the fake yield. And the true yield, of course, is your net profit versus your equity in the property. I know some people are going to say, no, it's not. It's the rent against the purchase price. It's not. That's your fake yield. Trust me. Your true yield is your equity. That your investment is your equity. Because at any point, you could sell that property and get that equity in your pocket. But you haven't got that equity in your pocket. You're leaving it in the property. So therefore, that's your investment now. So any net profit you receive into your bank is your return on that investment. There is no other investment. If you've mortgaged a property, look, if you've got that property owned outright, then that's your equity. And unfortunately, you're probably not making a great yield because you're leaving all that money in that property. Anyway, I've done a whole massive piece on true yield on my podcast and about 10 times on this page. So have a listen to that. Tip number 13, calculate your risk. Calculate your risk is for me, I work it out on a worst case scenario and a best case scenario, and then somewhere in the middle is where I set my target. So calculating risk on a worst case scenario is just that. What is the worst that can happen if this flip to sell goes wrong? What's the worst case? Or what's the worst case that could happen if property prices drop by 10% or 15% or 20%? Now, bearing in mind, have a look at history, right? Don't read the news, don't read the headlines that tell you that we're all gonna reduce our property, you know, property prices are gonna drop by 25%. When has that ever happened? Have a look at history and how often that happens and calculate your risk that way. Now, work out your worst case scenario. For example, if you've got a property that's worth £100,000 and property prices drop by 20%, that's pretty terrible, that's horrific. Then the worst case is that you only have £5,000 worth of equity because you can only finance up to 75% of the property. That's the worst case. So have a look at that, work out your risk. Tip number 14 is add value wherever you can. How good's that? So you should just be a developer all the time and just keep adding value, keep increasing your own value of the property. But what I mean is wherever you can, try and add value to the property and increase how much it's worth. Tip number 15 is make all of your money work for you. Invest it, reinvest it, and then grow. Now, making all your money work for you actually has turned into a good bit of fun for me. I'm just going to give you a funny little example, which is totally not property related. But I did an accumulator on Bet365, right? So I only put 10 quid on. And I won something like 200 and whatever it was quid, 250 quid. So I withdrew that 250 quid that I've just won in a bet and bought Facebook shares. Now look, some of you are going to attack me for buying Facebook shares because Facebook's crap or whatever. But that's what I did. I tried to make every single penny work for me. And you should do the same in property. Every time you get some net profits into your bank, use it. And that leads me on to tip number 16. Don't invest in your savings account. And this is one of the tips that all successful property investors that I've spoken to say. Don't invest in your savings account. Invest in something that's gonna make your money turn into more money. Now that might be something small. Even if you've only got a couple of hundred quid, use it to invest in something that's gonna make it 250 quid. Simple as that. Tip number 17, pay your taxes and include it in your calculation. I hear so many people work out their return on investment and they ignore their tax. Now, if you own your property as a limited company, I've got a bit of both. Some are in, anyway, it doesn't matter. If you've got a property that you own through a limited company, then you're going to pay 20% corporation tax on your profits. So think of it like that. If you are making £400 a month on a rental on your buy-to-let property, then you're going to be spending £80 a month of that on tax. Now, if you haven't included that in your calculation, then you are going to lose it at some point down the line. But also, most importantly, make sure you do pay your taxes, because the government do not mess around when it comes to their money. They will come straight after you and cause you major problems if you don't pay your tax. Tip number 18, invest in yourself, your mind, your body, and your education. Really simple. Keep yourself fit. Because look, I'm taking this to a bigger picture, right? If you're out viewing properties all the time and you need your mind to be active, and when you're calculating risk, calculating yield, calculating refurbishments, then you need to be on that. Because if you make a mistake in your preparation, then you'll make a mistake in your actual property investment. So keep your body healthy. Keep your mind healthy through education. Train yourself and educate yourself by watching my videos if you want. Watch Rob Moore, watch Samuel Leeds, watch David Siegler. Watch all of these people that have great information to share. There's loads of them that are sharing their tips. But also give yourself a break. Do you know what? If you are running around like a blue ass fly, I don't know what a blue ass fly runs around like, but if you are running around like that, a headless chicken, let's use that, then you're not keeping your mind healthy, which is then going to have a knock-on effect on how effective you are thereafter. Trust me, I am living proof. I used to work all the hours under the sun and not really get anywhere. Now I give myself a break. I do more things that I enjoy, spend more time with my family, and I'm more productive in a shorter amount of time. So hopefully that bit helps. Tip number 19, don't cut corners and don't go cheap. You know the old phrase, buy cheap, buy twice. In property, that is rife. Give you an example. If you buy an absolute cheap crap kitchen, then it's not going to last as long as if you buy a robust, decent kitchen. Now, I'm not saying go and spend thousands and thousands on an awesome kitchen. I'm just saying don't go cheap on that. And definitely don't cut corners. You will get found out. There are so many pieces of legislation now that protect tenants and also, I guess, go after landlords that don't make their properties perfectly safe and secure for their tenants, then you will get found out if you cut corners. Tip number 20, buy for your tenant, don't buy for you. Pick what tenant you want to have in your property before you actually go and find the property. So for example, if you are that person that really would like a nice young family, maybe one or one child, you know, two parents, one child, if that's your ideal tenant, then go and buy two bedroom houses in built up residential areas where there are good schools. Simple as that. But buy for your tenant. If you want families, buy big three bedroom houses. Don't go and buy flats and then complain that you're getting single people or things like that. And also don't go and buy in heavily in areas that are heavily populated by council tenants. Don't go and buy a property in there and then complain that you're not getting doctors and nurses in your property. Now, a bit stereotypical, but you get what I mean. 21 is network with other investors. This is a big one. If you surround yourself with successful people, you will become successful yourself. But you can also surround yourself with other investors and learn from them. Going back to the tip I said earlier on about investing in yourself. Speak with as many property investors as you can. Join groups on Facebook. Go to networking meetings about investing and property investing. It doesn't have to be about property investing. Investing is investing. Business is business. Go and mingle with these people. Learn from them. Share your knowledge. Learn from theirs. Tip number 22, find growth areas. Now that's a real trick. If you can find growth areas, then you should invest in them. Of course you should, right? But how do you find a growth area? Well, look, there's an easy way to do it. And look, there's no hard and fast science. But there is a way you can spot a potential growth area. What is growth? Growth is where there's high demand, right? High demand, lower supply. That's going to grow. But also there are areas where they're being heavily developed for things like hospitals and housing and employment, wherever that gets developed, in transport, all of these things, wherever that's being developed, then that could be a growth area. But also you can have a look and go back to that tip I said earlier on about demand. You can go and have a look around and see which areas in the country have got really high sale agreed, and it's quite a high ratio in relation to the number of properties that are on the market. That's a really good way to spot growth areas. Tip number 23, treat it like a business. Yes, a business is a vehicle that is designed to extract money from people. Now, you can do that in an honest way, and that's what landlording is. You buy something at one price and you sell it at a higher price to make profit. All business is that. It doesn't matter whether you're providing a service where you're buying the time of your employees for this amount of money and you're providing it to customers for this amount of money, or you're buying a product for this price and selling it for this price, or you're buying materials for this price and selling them at this price. It doesn't matter what your business is, it is designed to make profit. And that's what landlording is. Being an investor landlord is where you pay your mortgage payment of £400 a month or whatever it is, and you rent the property out at £800 a month to make a profit. The tenant's your customer, so therefore, treat it like a business. 24, get a power team. You will need a lawyer, a mortgage advisor, a good letting agent, an accountant, and good contractors on your side that you know and that know you in order to be a successful power, in order to be a successful property investor. Now, all of those professions, if you like, will need to benefit from you. So don't scrimp and battle them for their money. Let them make a profit so that you can make a better profit. Trust me on that. Lawyer, mortgage advisor, letting agent, accountant, and contractors. Contractors, by the way, check their accreditations and their qualifications. Check that they have the right insurances and the right experience in place. And also, by the way, don't pay contractors all the money up front. Please pay them in stages. They need a bit of money to buy materials to do the job, which, yes, you can pay for that. So with one of my contractors, I pay 25% in four stages as per the work schedule. Tip number 25, work with people that can work with you. Now, by that, I mean, don't be a dick. If you can, what is it? Well, yeah, it's past the watershed, isn't it? If you can work with people that can work with you, like I've just mentioned, lawyers, mortgage advisors, letting agents, accountants, contractors, and so on, work with them. Be flexible with them. Be available for them and be accommodating for them. Work with them. Now, the more you argue with those people when they're trying to give you advice or guidance, then the less they're going to want to work with you. So remember that, work with people that can work with you. Tip number 26, diversify your income. Not when you can. Oh, sorry, what have I written there? That's weird. Okay, diversify your income as much as you can, but start small and then grow. Now, by that, I mean you might start off by just buying buy-to-let properties. You might do some buy, refurbish, refinance, or flip-to-lets, as I call them, and you might build that as a small property investment strategy. Now, once you get comfortable with that, you might need to diversify a little bit. You might buy your first HMO property, or you might buy a serviced accommodation property, or you might grow a bigger property. You might buy a couple of flats in a block or something like that. But diversifying your income means that if one property category type goes a bit wrong, then you've got other property category types that are going to continue bringing you the maximum income. So diversify your income there. Tip number 27, stick with your plan, but review your plan. Now, do you know what always makes me laugh? It's with politicians, right? When a politician 20 years ago said they believe in this thing, and then 20 years later, they change their mind and get absolutely battered for it. No, I think change your mind. I think changing your mind is a really healthy thing to do if you're doing it in line with things that need to change, right? So if you stuck with your property investment plan from 20 years ago and you've stuck with that because that's your plan and you're not changing it, then you're probably going to have a tough time in the today's market. So continuously review your plan to make sure you're up to date with current mortgage lending criteria, legal criteria, legislation, and all those different types of programs, demand and mentality. You know, the country is a mentality as well. If the culture of tenants has changed in the last 20 years, then you need to change your approach too. So what I'm saying is stick with your plan, but constantly review your plan. I've added this little bit in myself, but bounce back ability is a real good skill to have because rejection is part of property investing. Don't get hung up about a property deal that you lost or someone that rejects your offers or things like that. Make sure you just, you keep that word in your brain. Bounce back ability. Oh, that one's gone. See you later. It's just a pile of bricks. There's another pile of bricks down the road. Whee! Tip 29. I've got a couple more for you after this and then we're done. Tip 29 is keep on investing. The most successful investors never stop investing their money. Now that doesn't necessarily mean just property. If you want to be a successful investor, then you have to keep investing, right? That sounds really obvious. You might buy a couple of properties this year and then that's all your money in them for the time being until you get some more money out or you can borrow some more money or whatever. But in the meantime, if you get a little bit here, a little bit there, invest it in something. Make that money grow so that you can get to your next property quicker. And the final tip I'd like to share with you in all of this, if you're going to be a successful property investor, it's not just about profit. Now, it starts with profit and you've got to make profit, but what is profit? So for me, there are a few different elements of investing, right? Because I don't want to invest money to make money, but then have no time or energy to enjoy it. So my tip, my final tip and my parting tip is to be anonymous. Be anonymous. Be an anonymous landlord that makes tons of profit through property, but also isn't giving up time and energy and freedom. Now, I worked it out like this. I had phase one target, which was what do I need to do to be financially free? And financially free is that figure of income that enables you to either quit work or step away from your business and focus on growing your property portfolio or whatever it is you want to do. But then phase two is your life freedom. And that's where I'm going with this. What is that financial figure that you need to achieve each month that brings you life freedom? Now for me, that's about 10 grand a month, right? And that lets me decide whether I want to work or not. It lets me decide what I want to do with my day every day. I might decide to carry on working and I probably will. But either way, throughout all of that, there's no point in having that freedom of any kind if you are not anonymous and if you don't have full control over your time. So be anonymous, systemize, automate, delegate, have everything managed for you by your power team, but also make sure they are systemized and automated and delegated so that they aren't using up your time, your energy, causing you stress or hassle. And all you're doing is just receiving your money every month, month in, month out, and you've got all of your time for yourself and your family. So those are the habits of successful property investors. And I hope that helps. But in the meantime, I will speak to you all soon. And remember, if you want to be the best version of yourself at one thing, then make sure you're being the best version of yourself at everything. And why not? My name's Tom Soane, and this is The Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media, or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast, and remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.